would find the scripture verse. Ephesians 3 and 20 and 21. Let me read this to you with you. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works in you. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me or to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. You will remind me today, Lord. And I know that you look at all of us, but you look at me differently today. I'm under a greater, a more strict judgment than anybody on this campus. And I understand that to the best of my ability. And Lord, I rightfully divide your word in that judgment. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you all. This verses 20 and 21 are the benediction to a prayer. If you don't know what a benediction is, it's getting to the end of it. And I told two preacher's kids that are here today, I think there are more than just two. I think we have about 50 preacher's kids in our church. So that's a good thing. Maybe. Maybe a good thing. But as a preacher's kid, I love benediction. You know why? Because it meant I was going home, you know? I was getting out of there. I loved the Lord's Supper on Sunday night because it was usually a short service, and I got to see the end of Walt Disney World. You know, I missed out on all my childhood of not seeing Walt Disney on Sunday night. So I'd want to scoot on home. So benediction to preacher's kids here. We like it because we get to split and get on out of here. Beautiful benediction from his prayer. I want to give you the prayer. I've already given it to you a few Sundays ago. And it is a beautiful prayer, this Ephesians 3. I really recommend you to get this prayer together. Use it in your daily life. It actually will be Ephesians 3, 14 through 21 would be the whole prayer. And I'm going to just refresh your memory from the other day about how the Lord is encouraging us and growing the inner man, though our outward body is wasting away. The inner person God is raising up. It says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in the inner man through his Spirit, and that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length, the width, the height, and the depth of God's love. And to know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge, so you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's his prayer. And then verses 20 and 21, it's the benediction to the prayer. I want you to notice something about the forming of the prayer. The end of it is talking about God's sovereignty, his power. But I want you to notice the posture. If you'll go back to verse 14, Ephesians 3, 14. Notice how he, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. I mean, just his posture. Do I think you need to kneel every time you pray? No. But there are times in your private praying, you can assume a posture. The posture of this is, I know I'm not in control. I know I'm not in control. I mean, just his physical body is saying, I know you're in control. I know you're in control, kneeling before the Father. And in that, just saying, I know that you're over everything. So he begins it, and then go to verses 20 and 21. He ends it in really the same way. And that's the declaration of that I know that you're in control. I could teach on these verses forever. I'll try to hang on with you. We're going to look at God's sovereignty first. We're going to look at God's sovereignty. Back in verses 20 and 21, specifically 20, now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we can ask or imagine. Some of you are very creative. You're very intelligent. You're very creative. You'll never match his. OK, okay? You'll never match it. You can try hard, but you'll never do it. His sovereignty here is, just using the phrase from Scripture, he is above all and he is beyond all. He, unbelievable what he is able to be able to do. I was in a conference, a preaching conference. I was honored to be in it. The keynoter was Robert Smith, an African-American preacher, teacher, Beeson Divinity School at Samford University in Birmingham. Robert Smith is phenomenal. Robert Smith was talking about the theology of his mother. And he said, my mom can't say or spell omnipresence, omnipotent, being omnipotent, being omnipresent, being omniscient. He said, my mom doesn't know what any of those things mean. She can't spell them. She can't say them. But all of her kids, she said, we were growing up. This is how God, she described God to us. She would call us all together, read scripture to us, and she would say, children, God is so big that he bumps into himself. You got to think about that for a moment. He's above all, and he's beyond all. Absolutely above and beyond all. Let's look at Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. There it is. Who is above all and through all and in all. Where are you going to go that you're not going to run into the Lord? He's everywhere. Just back in the prayer of Ephesians 3, 14. The height, the depth, the width, the length of God. You gotta learn this. You gotta know this. How incredible he is above all. We look at his sovereignty. Look at 1 Timothy 1:17 for just a moment. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and forever. Amen. Look at Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Man, how many times have you looked at this one? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Let me give you yesterday the rained out wedding, okay? The rained out wedding. During the wedding, it had been pouring, and there's this little opening, and it's not, and about the only thing happening was water dripping from the trees. And so one of the family members comes up and got his phone, got his weather app. He goes, we've got an opening. We've got an opening. Okay? I think we can get it in. They really did want to get this thing going. And so I'm going, okay, let's hurry up, get this thing together. And I told you, right when she was getting ready to walk down the aisle, and then just, boom. So I'm all this is going on, music's playing, Phil and Michaela are coming down the aisle, and I'm going, Lord, I'm an ordinary man, just like Elijah, right? Book of James says Elijah is an ordinary man. I said, Lord, I'm as country as cornbread. And I'm asking you, stop this rain. Stop the rain. Well, it rained harder. I mean, pouring. I'm talking sheets, you all. I'm not talking, I can stand this, it's a drizzle. I am talking, our clothing could not absorb any more liquid, any more rain. Shoes are filling up. Hem of my pants are filling up. I mean, you hit somebody on the back and water splashes. I mean, soaked. My belt was soaked. My tie was strangling me in weight of water. It strangles me on a good day, on a right day, let alone solid, wet day. And I'm going, Lord, this is her day. This is her day. She has planned for this. She has dreamed of this as a little girl. They've they've relocated family to go to Bellingrath in Mobile, or actually Theodore, Alabama. And, you know, Lord, bless her day. Can I tell you what I sense the Lord gave me? Jeff, I'm not worried about today. Because God doesn't care about how remarkable your wedding day is. He's concerned about a marriage. We will get concerned about how remarkable our wedding day is. Jesus does not get concerned about that. We're going, some of you all want a wedding to be so perfect that it's unforgettable. And the ones that are perfect are forgettable. I will never forget this wedding yesterday. Ever. I will compare it, I mean, just saturated. Her veil, her makeup, and I'm going, Elijah. I'm Elijah. I'm an ordinary guy. If you don't know about Elijah, Elijah could stop the rain, could start the rain, right? And I'm going, Lord, I'm just an ordinary man. I got to go back to this because there's a lot of things I want God to do, right? I would want him to heal Tom, our son-in-law. You asked me that, boom, on it. He did heal him. He just didn't hit him on this side of glory. And you're going, well, that can be a cop-out. And let me tell you, Scripture has said that God has placed eternity in our hearts. It's something we long for. So there's a lot of things I want God to do, right? Right? But look at here. This is his sovereignty. My thoughts, says the Lord, are not your thoughts. I looked at the family. I said, I'm sorry. And they go, you can't control the rain. Let me tell you, when you get older, you're going to learn this. Some of you all are young and you're running wide open and you're creative and you're powerful and you're intelligent, you're sharp, and you think you're in control. You will get to a spot one day in your life where you realize you are in control of nothing. You know what I'm saying? You're thinking, man, I'm the sharpest knife in the drawer. And I've figured this thing out. The moment you get there, you will realize that you are no longer the sharpest knife in the drawer and that you don't have this thing figured out. Why? His thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not your ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts, meaning higher than your thoughts. We have to realize that he is sovereign, he is above all, he is beyond all, and we have to be able to rest in that, absolutely rest in that he is in control. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. It really goes back to the Lord's Prayer. He wants nothing more than his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That becomes his mission. And he wants to see his kingdom lived out in and through all of us. I'll get to that in a moment on this earth. I was flying back, got back in about 12:30 last night, 12:45. And I'm running on Jesus and really good coffee right now. So not much sleep over the last 2 days. I wanted to do that for Michaela and her husband. I wanted to do that for the Webb family. Glad I did it. But flying in, just seeing the lights of cities, cars and towns and streets and street lights, and just all the people on all the world, and I'm just thinking of all that's going on, he just wants his creation to know him, and I get to thinking about we're just running around splitting hairs, you know, consumed in our own stuff, and God gives us all these opportunities of just being able to just to know him. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Second thing we want to see in this scripture is not just his sovereignty. We want to look at God's power. Back in verses 20 and 21, he is above and beyond all that we can ask or come up in all of our creativity. He's above it. According to the power that works in you. I want to go back to verse 16, if we can, with Ephesians 3, in that prayer that I gave you, and that is, I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the power in the inner man through his spirit. Didn't get much sleep Thursday night. Jim Haddix had passed away during the night. Had a 6 o'clock flight. I was tired over the weekend. I was tired Friday, tired Saturday, handling things. And then Jim's death from a distance. I was working with the family. Steve was coming back from Haiti. Steve, as you know, is on staff with a ministry down there, Alex's House, Disciples Village. And then I'm trying to keep up with that. I'm working with the funeral home. I'm working with the family and Linda. And I'm working with our staff and getting things ready to go for the funeral tomorrow. Then plus I had to be ready for today. A lot going on. Absolutely a lot going on. It's just strength. See, I believe the gospel is about the cross and the resurrection. But I believe the gospel comes there that God leads you through. Because of the cross and the resurrection, he has the ability to lead you through. And listen to me, you all, listen to me. We need Jesus not to just go through the days and the weeks and the months. We need Jesus to go through the moments, the minutes of what's going on. How does he do that? Well, he strengthens the inner man. His power is at work within us. What does he do? I'm wasting away on the outside, but what's going on in the inside is a miracle. That God's power is being exercised and moving through us. Look at not only Ephesians 3:16, look at Jude 24 and 25. Yeah, I've got the song going in my head too. Let's just leave it there, okay? Jude 24 and 25. Now to him who is able, see, he's able. What's he able to do? To protect you from stumbling, to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time, now and forever. He has the power to be able to lead you through. How does he do that? He works within the inner man. When we go back to verses 20 and 21, we talk about, now to him who's able to do above and beyond, that's his sovereignty, more than the creativity, according to the power that works within you, this power, this resurrection power is at work in you. The phrase here means you can't exhaust it out. Well, let me help you in modern day times. Do you know that there now is a phobia? It's true. There is a phobia that your phone will run out of battery life. Did you know that? How many of you all will see it? You'll be at 90% and you're going, I got to charge it. Yes? Yes? BJ? You don't have to come to the altar, but you're welcome. All right? But there's a phobia that is, I'm losing power. Some of y'all send me screenshots, and I see 6% up there at the top. I'm going, geez, oh, Pete, charge your phone, you know? And but just in travel, Friday and Saturday, everything is a charging station today. Everything. Just about everywhere you sit in an airport is a charging station. That's how they even, some of them, lure into their restaurant, is their charging stations. And you're just seeing people, that they don't even look at each other anymore. Everybody's got a headphone on or they're looking at something. I just put mine up. I'm just staring at people, you know, like some weird guy, you know. It's like, I'm just looking at them. Let's have a conversation. Let's look at each other. But there is a phobia that you won't have enough battery power. Let me put it in this context. Some of you are going, well, God's got all this power, but he's giving out so much of it, it's depleting. The battery life on his power is going down. Let me tell you, the battery power will never go down on him. He will never lessen. You're going, man, out of all the billions of people and him strengthening us just to get through the moments, surely the power of God is depleted just like your phone battery. It is never done. It is never depleted. And the way that Paul writes this says you will never be able to exhaust the power of God. You will never be able to deplete it. We'll get to thinking, man, all of us are consuming God's power. Surely it's got to lower. Absolutely not. We're going, okay, God's not up. We're going, man, I'm down in low power mode right now, less than 20%, and I'm down there and I can't help you. He gives you power. You cannot wear it out. You cannot deplete it. And where is that power going? That power is absolutely at work within you. Why? He's above all. He's over all. He's above all. He's beyond all. You've got to be able to see that and to understand that. It becomes incredible for us to see. Third thing, we're going to look at God's glory. When we talk about God's glory, I don't know if we know exactly what we all mean by that. It's just hard to define. So in a very simple way, I'm going to attempt it. Now, I'm giving you what I'm giving you so that you build on it. So if it piques your interest, this is something for you to build on. But we can talk about God's glory, that God's glory is so unbelievable, we can't be able to handle all of it, like Moses. But you know when it's there. And I'm going to try to describe that to you in just a very systematic, very elementary way, and maybe you will build on it. God's glory can be summed up that it's his beauty and his splendor. Let me help you with that. Whenever you see the kingdom of God work the way it's supposed to, it's incredibly beautiful. It really is beautiful. Like for example, I told Elise this after the first service. In traveling, I do observe people. And everybody's in a rush. Consumers, we take and take and take. We expect things. And we don't expect any delay. We don't expect everything just to work just wonderfully. I live life expecting some of the variables to come up. That's just the way I live life. So I try to plan for those accordingly. And when I went through the TSA, through the checkout, I went through there. Every one of them had a uniform on. I went up to them and I thanked them for their service. I am taking my shoes off, taking the belt off, cell phone, everything, backpack. You all know what I'm talking about. And I thanked them. I said, thanks for keeping us safe. They look at me as if I'm a crazed man. Because nobody says kind stuff anymore. They're fussing. One guy's at the end, and he's at the desk. I said, sir, thank you for your service. I appreciate that. Help keeping us safe. And he looked at me, and he goes, you're kidding. I'm not kidding. Thank you. I'm happy that you do this. Thank you for doing this. Thanks for thinking of us and keeping us safe. He goes, I get cussed out. Well, not by me, you don't. Thank you. So I just started going, I'm going to be, I hope I'm always kind, but I open doors, ladies first. They look at me like, you're kidding me. No, go on, man. You go ahead. You go ahead of me. It's okay. I remember I was at seminary, and there was a lady there, a guy from Georgia, opened the door for her. And she goes, did you open that door because I'm a woman? He goes, no, ma'am, I opened that door because I'm a gentleman. That's a great answer, isn't it? Leave it up to a good old boy from South Georgia to come up with that, right? I opened that door because I'm a gentleman. I just thought, we'll just show respect, thank people, have a conversation with them, and they look at you in amazement. Here's my point. When you see the kingdom of God at work, their splendor and beauty is beautiful to watch the kingdom of God at work. And you go, that's the glory of God. That's his touch. That's his touch. So you look at creation. Have you had those moments when you were speechless, breathless, by sight, Grand Canyon, mountain peaks, Denali in Alaska, something, the quietness of a stream, just in amazement, watching wildlife, just watching his creation, his handiwork. If you want to get a good hint on where the glory of God is really bestowed, read the Psalms. You know, how majestic is his name, how splendor. You and I are wonderfully complex and created. It just goes on, because what happens, like I'm really bad at praying over kids when they're born, because I cry all the time. And nowadays I can't hardly start a prayer without, give me a minute, because I'm going to break into tears. And just optic nerves connecting, you know, hearts pumping, blood flowing, emotions. And I get breathless, because that's God's touch. The glory of God is him. And you're seeing his touch. If it's you showing kindness in a kingdom way to somebody else, glory. Right, Denny?
Glory.
Why? That's him. That's God. Like the wedding yesterday, I'm praying for it to rain. And don't be mad at God. He's not as interested in that wedding day as he is their missional marriage. And what blew me away is Michaela had rain dripping off her nose, and she would not stop. They wrote their vows to each other. She would not let anything stop her giving her vow to David, nor he her. I stood there with my mouth open. I'm wanting to shorten this thing. Let's get to the cake. You know? And they're like, what rain? And that's the way they acted all day long. What rain? Because their focus is on a marriage and not a wedding day. If your focus was on a wedding day, you'd have been madder than heck. Their focus was on a marriage, which is where God's focus is. It's on a marriage. So we see its glory. When I saw them in that pouring down rain, I saw the touch of God. It's him. I saw that happen. You understand the creation. What about when he whispers your name? Like, Samuel heard the Lord, and Samuel thought it was Eli talking to him. I mean, those moments where God's whispers are. Yesterday in the airport, I was waiting to get the flight back to Lexington, and I heard Jeff. I looked around, and then I heard it again, Jeff. And I looked around, and then I realized it was somebody ordered it at the Shake Shack, and they were calling out their order. I thought the Lord there was a man at a microphone at the Shake Shack, you know? So, and it wasn't my order. It was another Jeff. I had salmon and broccoli for all you Trainer Joe people. That's what I had. A little bit of brown rice, but it was another Jeff. But then there for a moment, I'm going, where's that coming from? You hear his whisper. That's his touch, where he's giving you the voice of truth, as Casting Crowns would sing about. That he's giving you that whisper, and that's a glorious moment. Why? Because it's his touch. It's his whisper. It becomes his word. Being in his word, it's his love letter to you. And being in his word, and you're going, man, this is exactly for me. God has given me this devotion today, and it's right. Some of y'all come to me and go, Pastor Jeff, you were preaching right to me today. How'd you know that? And I'll say something like, well, I've got your name at the top of my sermon sheet here, you know, something like that, which I don't. Except BJ, I've got BJ written right there. But you're going, man, that was right for me. Well, that's glory. Why? That's his touch. Who put that together? God put that together. So whenever you see his touch, it's glory. It's absolutely his splendor, his presence. He comes in his presence. You sense his presence. It's not a tap on the shoulder. It's an embrace. His presence is with us. I'm going to say this about Jim Haddix. If you're at the funeral tomorrow, I'll say it again. I've got to say it. The family, a lot of the family was here in the first service, and I said it to them. Jim loved the Lord deeply, and service, one of his Holy Spirit gifts was service. He wanted things to be just right for you all on Sunday morning, he and Jerry, lots of things. Our kids in Kids Way, man, they loved him. He loved them back. I know a lot of things. I've got a lot of stories about Jim Haddix, but I'm going to tell you some things I'll never forget. When Jim was in the presence of the Lord, he would weep. He would cry. And I've seen him sit over in that area where Dana and Lisa and the Meachums are. And I just seen him weep. I knew the presence of the Lord was on him. I've seen Jim dance. Now, he dances like a white man from Eastern Kentucky. But I've seen Jim dance. Jim would serve the Lord's Supper. He would stand about right here. And I was used to a Lord's Supper where you just played the organ and everybody went to sleep, right? We started Hope Church in 1998. We said it's going to be celebration, even during the Lord's Supper. And we've never gone away from that, and we never will. So we're serving you all the Lord's Supper. Our praise team is leading you. And Jim is down here serving, and he gets to dancing. He gets to dancing. His legs, and he gets to moving, and he gets to dancing. And I just smile, tears well up, because I've seen Jim Haddix be in the presence of Christ. I've seen that happen. What is that? That's God's touch on his life and ours. What is that? That's a glorious moment. I'm trying to teach you here, the glory of God is when you see his touch, when you feel his touch. Those are glorious times that he has upon them. I can't control them, but they happen. It's just seeing his work. The glory of God is just him. You get a deep realization of him watching a baby sleep. Gosh, there's nothing more innocent and peaceful. And sometimes I look at these little kids, our little kids, and grow up. Who's going to raise them up and teach them to hate? Because somebody's going to try. They're not born with that. And I just look at that innocence and that peace. Total dependency. Total dependency. And you hear the voice of God going, that's the way I want you to be with me. That's a glorious moment. What is that? That just becomes his touch. Now, I want to go back to verse 20 and 21 for a moment. I want to bring out something to you. And this is an assurance and a warning at the same time. Where does this glory, to him be glory where? In the church. Listen, let me tell you something. When you die, you better be connected to Jesus and his church. Okay? I'm talking holy universal church. I'm talking local church. Any way you want to be able to see that. Don't you ever buy in that I can serve Christ as a lone ranger in my faith. Don't you ever, I don't care how good it feels, I don't care how good it sounds. Don't you ever, ever, ever think that you can serve the Lord and be separate from the church. Let me, it's his bride, you all. He's coming back for his bride. She will be spotless and without blemish. So how is this glory recognized and expressed? Through the church. Let me tell you why I believe that so when I bring the whole counsel of God together. It is because if you're not careful, Satan will do with us what he has done to himself. And that is, you'll get to thinking, you'll see the touch of God, and you'll take the credit for it. It'll be self-inflated. It'll be self-initiated, and you're going, hey, I need a Superman t-shirt. My spirituality has just made me higher than Daryl here. I'm going to have this strut. When the truth is, I need to serve Daryl. That's the kingdom. So we'll get puffed up thinking, man, and some of you all do that. You just need to confess it. You'll think this preacher or that preacher, they walk with God. You know what I'm saying? You'll have them higher. You hear me? You all listen to me? I'm serious. Y'all are bad about that. You'll get to thinking this preacher brings it and this preacher doesn't. I mean, it's the spoken word of God. Paul says that even if Jesus is preached in pretense, Jesus is still preached. Amen, Joshua? He's still preached. And Jesus is the shining moment of the glory of God. If you want to see the brightest part of the glory of God, it's going to be Jesus himself. So with a kind word, helping somebody through a door first, they don't need to see me. They need to see Christ in me. And then that becomes the glory. Why? I believe this is so intentional that he says, why is the glory of God in and through the church? Is because we'll hold each other accountable. Because if you're not careful, it'll be, well, Jeff's leading Hope Church. I'm not leading Hope Church. And if you all, I've got a role in it, you do too. But some of you who are very close to me know that I take my hands off of a whole lot of stuff. I can't get the credit for this. I just have a calling to do. I need to flesh that out. I need to live that out in a kingdom way. But we'll end up taking the credit. And the glory goes to him. How do we do it? Through the church. Let me just tell you, this is something I believe very deeply. You all came here today, right? People in your subdivision watched you pull out of your driveway. That's great. I'm thankful for that. We are here together. People see your cars out in the parking lot. That's wonderful. I'm glad you're here. But I want to tell you something. We are here, and not only for the folk who can see us, that we are saying, my worship belongs to God. Here, the hounds of hell are looking at us too. You need to know that, all right? And I this morning, you and I are telling an unseen world that our faith and trust is in a risen Savior. I'm celebrating resurrection, and you all are still trying to cover it up. And I'm out here, I'm coming in here in and through the church to announce that I not only love the Lord, I love a risen Lord. Cross and resurrection, what does that mean? He will strengthen you in your inner self, and he will lead you through. He's above all, beyond all. His power is never depleted. You need to live in that. You need to walk in that. And don't take the glory. Let me tell you something. The glory of God is more than pointing a finger when you touch it, when you have a touchdown. You know what I'm saying? It's more than hitting a home run and hitting your heart and sending it up to heaven. The glory of God is shown and exercised through the church. He's even amening. Let him amen. Oh. You hear me? In and through the church. Why? Because it's his bride. Julie and I are one flesh in the eyes of the Lord. I'm in Theodore, Alabama. She's in Kentucky. But when he sees us as one flesh. He will never see us separately again, ever. No matter where we are, no matter time and distance, we're seen as one flesh. When you see Jesus, you can't see Jesus and not see the church. Where is his glory bestowed? In and through the church, because it's his bride. We give him the credit for what is going on in our life. We don't take it. And guys, we got to watch it, because I'm telling you, that old devil will pride you real quick that you pray better, you teach better, you preach better, you know the Holy Spirit better, your gifts are better. Let me tell you, none of us are better. We have obedience to walk through, but it's the power of God working in us, not our own power. And we reflect that. We don't take the glory for that. We reflect that back to him. We look at his glory. It's when God, we see his touch, we give him the credit for it. When we see his touch, or anybody recognizes his touch, even if it's through us, he gets the credit for it. Romans 3:23-24 as I close. For all the sin, and we fall short of the glory of God. They are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I preach with a whole counsel concept. I know you know that. It doesn't mean that I don't preach through books of the Bible. Recently, we just went through Hebrews. We've done a lot of Old Testament things together, going through books. Ecclesiastes, when we preached on the seasons of life, if you remember that. We will do that. But I'm a whole counsel of God guy. I say that with no shame whatsoever. And my point is, how does all this work together? I really believe in my heart, and I want you to let me believe this, because I can be gullible and vulnerable. I can be that way. And I can be naive. I believe when you wake up in the mornings, I really want to believe that you wake up wanting to please the Lord that day. I really do. And then we get busy. We get past that thought. We may even forget that we thought that thought. And we fall short of the glory of God. We get up in the morning and the bullseye is the glory of God. We want to be a part of his touch in this world. And we fall short. Hang on. Here's the beautiful thing about Jesus. It says, they are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The book of Romans says that Jesus' ministry is about reconciliation. So wherever your bullseye is the glory of God, you fall short. That's where Jesus steps in the gap, where you fall short. And where the glory of God is, and he makes up the difference. He makes up the difference in us. We've got to stand in that and realize that it's the Lord just sending power to our inner self just to be able to go about that. He still works in us. That's incredible to think that God has chosen to work in us. Keep your focus there, though. Get up every morning and aim for the bullseye. But just know, I don't want you to willingly sin. I don't want you to willingly be disobedient. But just know that in the heart of it all is that where we fall short, he stands in the gap for us. That's just a beautiful Savior to me. That even though I'm an imperfect person, through Christ, I still see the touch of God. I still see the work of God, the beauty of his kingdom. And he still works in and through us through the person of Christ Jesus. Rest in that today, okay? Keep aiming. Aim toward that bullseye. But just know that he lives in us. He empowers us so that other people can see the touch of God and use us. And let's pray that they see his touch. I see his glory of how he touches them. Let me pray over you all, okay? Father, I pray over our people today. God, bless them. Bless them. Remind us through your word and through your presence in our life that you're using us, even though we fall short of your glory, Lord. You're still able to use us so that other people will see your touch. See your kingdom at work. And we do that through the person of Christ, and we thank you for that. Empower us, Lord. Let us know that you're empowering us. And Lord, we stand here today and we say, you are above all and you are beyond all. There is no one like you. No one like you. And we thank you, the only one living, true God. We submit our lives to you. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Our invitation is for you to come and surrender your life. We've had more baptisms the first half of this year than we've ever had. Many of you all know that we've had a series. We got two more that are going to be baptized on Father's Day. I've talked to them. Brother and sister are going to be baptized. We're looking forward to that. Just thank you for your continued prayers and people's response just to the bidding of the Holy Spirit. If you're here today, you've never surrendered your life to Christ, come do so. There'll be people here to minister with you in an altar. We offer you communion for believers. The bread represents his body given. The drink represents his blood shed. You take the bread, dip it in the drink. Before you consume it, remember his sacrifice. Thank him for standing in the gap for us. And God still uses us so that other people see his glory, his touch. And thank him for that. The invitation is this. whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. Church, would you stand? Counselors, you find your spot, if you will. Logan's going to lead us. You come.